Recording. Okay. Hi, everybody. So, welcome to our Thursday night shiur. And tonight we're switching Bezrat Hashem to Choshen Mishpat to monetary matters. And the topic for tonight is all fair in business, competition in Jewish law. I'm just going to mute everybody, but feel free to unmute yourself if you would like to, if you'd like to contribute in any way. Okay. Of course, I always welcome questions, comments, thoughts, especially if you have some personal experience with something in this area or a related field, I'd be very happy to hear. Feel free to pipe in or to raise your hand or whatever, however you wish to communicate. So I saw the following interesting question. We wanted to discuss tonight competition in Jewish law. So I saw the following, a very interesting question on the internet. It was printed just about 2.5 weeks ago. Someone has been selling masks in his development for the last several weeks. He now discovers that his neighbor is beginning to sell masks as well, and he feels that this will impact negatively on his sales. Does he have the halachic right to prevent his neighbor from selling them due to the prohibition of hasagas gvul or hasagat gvul, unfair business competition? So the topic I wanted to discuss today is business competition, this being just one example. This question being just one example of where it comes up. And so this question in the postgame, what are the boundaries? What are the limitations? What are the rules about what is fair or what is unfair when it comes to competition in business? Can I open up any business wherever I want, whenever I want? Or do we say that, no, we have to respect already existing businesses. We have to, and it's not my place to come in and to start a business where I'm going to be negatively affecting another business that already exists in that same place. And this is actually a quite complicated topic, and figuring out exactly the differences between the different opinions is not 100% so clear, but we'll try to present some of them as much as we can. Yes, Johnny?
Well, Simon, this is a free country. You could do anything you want.
Good. So some people say that too. Correct. Some people say that. So, but we should imagine if it's up to halacha. So we want to analyze it from the perspective of halacha. What's the rule? So just two Gemaras. This is, again, I used one of Rabbi Jachter's books very much in preparing this year. So Rabbi Jachter begins by quoting two Gemaras that at least are something to think about. So the Gemara says, V'al Beit HaDamim, is making a drasha on a pasuk. It says, Beit HaDamim, al asher hemit ha-givonim, referring to Shaul HaMelech, that he killed the givonim. V'chihechan matzinu b'Shaul she-hemit ha-givonim. Where do we see that Shaul killed the Givonim? He didn't do it. We have no record of that in Tanakh. Al mitoch sheharag nov ir ha-kohanim, shayu maspikin lahem mayim mazon, ma'aleh alav ha-katuf ki'ilu horgan. So what did Shaul HaMelech did? Shaul HaMelech actually destroyed the source of parnasah, the source of income, the source of support for the Givonim. And therefore, the Torah, or the Navi, considers it as if he killed them. He didn't actually kill them. He just took away their parnasah, took away whoever was supporting them. So the rejector points out from here that we see that taking away somebody's parnasah can be even the equivalent considered, the chacham can consider it even if, as almost as if chas v'shalom killed such a person. So definitely we have to treat other people's parnasah with sensitivity. We can't go rampantly, even if we have a lenient ruling, we can't be rampant in how we relate to other people's parnasah. The second source, which is a very interesting source, which we'll maybe come back to a little bit later, is the Gemara Masech and Makot. The Gemara says, Ba David v'hemidan alachat Yisrael. So based on a parak in Tehillim, Mizmor David Hashem, Yagur ba'aholecha. So the David HaMelech in that parak in Tehillim delineates 11 character traits that the Gemara Makot says these are sort of 11 key character traits. So quotes the Pasuk, Lo asa lere'ehu ra'a. What does it mean that he didn't do anything evil to his friend? So what does that mean? Shelo yarod yarad le'umanut chavero. He didn't go down to his friend's business. He didn't involve himself in his friend's business. That's what it means. Lo asa l're'ehu ra'ah. So of course, by inference, we can figure out that one who does get himself involved in somebody else's business, one who does interfere with somebody else's business, considered that asa l're'ehu ra'ah, he did something bad to his friend. It definitely seems to be looked down upon, although we'll see other interpretations of this Gemara. Okay? So now, the Gemara in let's start with the Pasuk. Pasuk is Lo Tasi Gevur Re'echa Asher Gavlu Rishonim. So the Gemara The Chachamim Rashi Ala Torah interprets this pasuk a little bit different than the way we're going to interpret it. But the just as a basic background idea, the Torah says that I can't move my countryman's landmarks. Like if I'm in the land of Israel and I have certain property markers, I'm not allowed to move the property markers to infringe on somebody else's property to try to enlarge my property. That's Asur, Isur Doraita, Asur from the Torah. Okay? B'nachlatcha shetuchal ba'aretz Hashem lekecha noten lecha l'rishta. I cannot sort of infringe on the property of somebody else. So this phrase has become used very much of hasagat givul, has been used very much to describe the same concept when it comes to business infringement, to go into somebody else's business. And really, this is all based on a Gemara in Masechet Bava Batra. Masechet Bava Batra, Daf Chaf Aleph Amubet. And we're going to have a couple of opinions over here, so let's pay close attention to the different opinions.
I want to tell you something. You know, the mask today, we were referring about doing competitions. It's,
yeah.
Rita, it's like you're saying it's correct. Although that the person, I don't think that the person's going to show outside and you're showing in the inside of the house. You don't know what material you're using, what the design is using. We don't know how much is it paying. We don't know about this detail because you don't see the whole picture. You don't. If you go into the super, if you go to a market, then the person goes to the outside. You could see what they're selling. So you're not really.
Okay, Johnny, if you're talking about whether or not the two items are the same or different, so hold on. We'll get to all that, Bezrat Hashem, towards the end of the shiur, okay? You're raising a fair point, so let's wait till the end of the shiur. Hopefully we'll get up to that, okay? So the Gemara Bava Batra says, Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna is the first opinion in this Gemara. Hai bar mivoa du'uki rechaya. So if you think about how they used to live, the people used to live in courtyards. There were houses that surrounded a courtyard, and the courtyards would all open up into an alleyway. So let's say somebody lives in an alleyway, du'uki rechaya, and he has a mill. He's a miller. He set up a mill in that alleyway. He's the exclusive miller in the alleyway. Okay, it seems like in Great Neck there were many millers because we have grist mill, we have water mill, we have old mill. So it doesn't seem to be so exclusive. But in this alleyway, there were exclusive mills. Ve'atar bar mevoa chavrei dekamuki gabe. So somebody else comes and he sets up a mill in the same courtyard, in the same alleyway where he has his mill. He's going to take away his business. So Rav Huna says, Dina hu de ma'akev ilave. You're allowed to stop him. You're allowed to say, no, I'm sorry. You're not allowed to do this. I'm the miller over here. It's my business. You can't come and infringe on my business. The Amarla, he says to him, Kapaskit li lichiyute. You're stopping my business. You're stopping my parnasa, my life. You can't do this. Okay. So now the Gemara brings a case. Lema mesayele. Let's bring a proof to Rav Huna. Marchikim mitzudat hadag min hadag kemale ritzat hadag. Vekama amar bar Rav Huna ad parsa. So the Gemara is talking about a situation where somebody sets up a trap for fish. He puts his net out there and he finds the sort of the crevice where these fish are coming out, and he sets up food over there for the fish to come in to the bait. So he can catch the fish. He wants to be a fisher. He wants to catch fish. He wants to sell them. So somebody else comes. He's a chacham. And he says, listen, you set up your fish over there. You set up your net over there with your bait. I'll come and I'll put my net right next to yours. So you say, I'll get some of the fish also. You did all the hard work already. You figured it out. I'll come and I'll get some of yours. So Gemara says, you can't do that. You have to at least distance yours a parsa. It's a significant distance. A couple of thousand feet away. It's a significant significant distance that you have to keep your net away. Okay, so that seems to be a proof to Rav Huna that if somebody has an established business, you can't come in and infringe on his business. So the Gemara says, Shani dagim diyavi siara. No, you can't compare it to fish. The fish, they're so attached, they're so drawn to the food that the first guy put out there, it's almost as if they're already his. It's as if he owns them, meaning even though he didn't physically capture them yet, but they're so likely to come to him, so it's as if it's already his. And therefore, if you take from him, you're not just infringing on his business, you're stealing from him. So that's for sure forbidden. So you can't use that as a proof for Rav Huna's case, where I have two millers in the same alleyway. Okay. That's the second case the Gemara talks about. Third thing, Metive. Oseh Adam Chanut Bitzad Chanuto Shel Chavir. So the Gemara asks a challenge. The Gemara asks a challenge from a Braita that says that one person is allowed to put a store next to his friend's store. Umerchatz Bitzad Merchatzo Shel Chavir. And if somebody else has a bathhouse, you can open up next door. Veino Yacholim Chot Biado. But he can't protest. Listen, you have your business and I have my business. What do you want from me? You have your customers, I'll have my customers. I don't care you have a business here. Right? So, okay, we'll both have businesses. We'll both do what we do. You do yours and I'll do mine. So this Braita seems to go against Rav Huna. Rav Huna is an Amor. I can't argue on a Braita. So it sounds like you are allowed to open a business next door to somebody else's business. So the Gemara says, you're right, Tanaihi. It's actually subject to Machloket Tanaim. Rav Huna's statement is not following all opinions, it's following one opinion, but you're right, there are many opinions in the Tanaim on this matter. The Tanya, we learned in a Braita. Kovim be'mevu od zed zeh shelo lo hoshiv b'nehem. Lo chayat v'lo bursiki v'lo melamed tinokot. Second. V'lo echad mi'bnei ba'alei umaniyot. U'lishchino en kofehu. So, the Braita says that the first opinion over here says that a person can withhold or can keep somebody else from basically from setting up a business where he already has one. But Reshbag says, Af l'shcheno kofehu. So he says, so the Braita says, however, if it's his neighbor, I mean, if they both live in the same area, in the same neighborhood, so you can't stop him. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, even if it's his neighbor, he's in the same area, he can stop him from opening his business. Okay? So let me see if I can find it over here so we could look at it together. Does he have it? No. Okay. I don't have the... we don't have it over here. But either way, so it sounds like we have a machloket tanaim as to whether or not you're allowed to open a business that infringes on somebody else's business. Okay? So Amar Avuna Braid Rav Yeshua, Pshitali Bar Marta Achriti Matzi Ma'akev. Okay, so he starts qualifying this statement. Okay, he says, listen, if they come from two different towns, so certainly the person who lives in the town can say to the person who's coming from out of town, what are you doing in my town? Why are you coming to start a business in my town? You don't live here. You're not a resident over here. You can't come and set up a business that's going to get in the way of my business. However, he says, v'ishayach b'karga d'hacha lo matzi ma'akev. But if the guy is paying taxes in that area, he's enough of a resident that you can't stop him. Bar mevoa d'nafshe lo matzi ma'akev. But if they both live in the same alleyway, so then you can't stop him. And then the Gemara asks the question, by Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yehoshua, bar mevoa achrina mai, can one alleyway compete, somebody from one alleyway, the next door alleyway, come and set up a business in the alleyway next to him, where he doesn't live in that alleyway, but he lives in the city. Is that allowed? So the Gemara says, take him. Okay. So just to summarize what we have from this Gemara, we have a machloket tanaim, which becomes a machloket amoraim, in the following question. If I have two people, they live in the same alleyway, let's say for our purposes we'll call that a neighborhood. They live in the same neighborhood. One person who lives in the same neighborhood allowed to come and set up a new business that will perhaps take away from the business of the person who already was there? So Rav Huna says, no, you're not allowed to. And Rav Huna braids Rav Yehoshua, following the Rabbanan, says, yes, you are allowed to. It is completely permitted. If you guys are in the same alleyway, that's considered to be fair competition. I have just as much of a right to sell here as you have a right to sell here, even though you already had your business from before, but we both live here. This is fair game for everybody within the same neighborhood. If I live here, I'm allowed to open up a business. Now, if I live
The question is, if there's a person who lives in the same neighborhood, who start to open the business first? If that first person open the business first, that considered that second person is stealing business from him.
That's exactly the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says that's the machlok in Rav Huna Braid Rav Yehoshua and Rav Huna, or the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Is that considered to be stealing somebody else's business or not? So the Rabbanan say,
why is it supposed to be a machloket? That's That's stealing no matter what. It's not.
So let's look
at,
so John, let's look what Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, let's look at what Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, Haya Sham b'Mavoy Echad mibnei Mavoy Uman v'lo Michubo. Okay, so let's say somebody has Echad mibnei Mavoy, somebody who lives there. He has a business there, and they let him set up the business. Oh, Shaita Sham Merchatzu Chanut Orechaim, or he had a bathhouse or a store, or he had a mill. And then somebody else came and set up another business. You're not allowed to say to him, you're getting in my way. You're getting in the way of my business. Even if he was from the next alleyway, a different alleyway, as long as he was in the same city, they can't stop him. Why? Because it's the same business. You have your business, I have my business, okay. But a stranger from another town, another area, who comes to make a store in next to mine, or a bathhouse next to my, yesh lehem limono, you can stop him. However, if he's paying some sort of taxes in that area, so then you can't stop him. I wonder, I don't know, I didn't have a chance to look into this so much, but I wonder what qualifies as the type of paying taxes that you can't stop him. Let's say he owns real estate in the area. He's paying real estate taxes. Is that enough to say that I'm a resident also, and then I can start a new business in this area? Or let's say he's collecting sales tax. Is that enough? Well, collecting sales tax, not really. But let's say there's some other taxes that he's paying. Is that enough to say that I'm a resident? I'm not sure what qualifies as taxes. But for our purposes, the Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion that if I have two people, at least from the same neighborhood, or even from neighborhoods that are near each other, the Shulchan Aruch says that one person has, even if one person has an established business, I'm allowed to come in and start a new business. Okay. Now, the next thing to see is that there are many limitations to this halacha. And there are many cases we'll see in the poskim where the poskim say it's not so clear cut. I can't just come and start a new business. You have a store, you have a law practice, a medical practice, you have something going on, and I'm going to come and take your customers? It's not so clear that that's allowed. So let's see the Avi Asaf, okay? So the Hagot Maimoniot quotes the opinion of the Avi Asaf. He says the following question. Umavui hasatum begimot stadim, uvitzad echad rak nichnasim lo. Let's say I have an alleyway that's closed on three sides. It's like a cul-de-sac. There's only one way to go into the alleyway. Vidar Ruvain etzel sofo hasatum. So Ruvain has a business at the end of the alleyway. Uba Shimon lidur kalape tzara petach. And Shimon comes to live towards the entrance to the alleyway. She'ein ochri achol elech. And nobody from the outside is going to come in. In lo yelech tchila lefnei petach Shimon. Unless he's going to pass by the first pizza store, right? Let's say I put two pizza stores. I have a pizza store, one's all the way at the end of the street. And there's no way you can get to my pizza store without passing by the other pizza store. So it says, Nira de ma'akev alei kiravhuna ad kan lashon Avi Asaf. So the Avi Asaf says that you're allowed to stop him, like Rav Huna says. You're allowed to stop him from opening a business. Now, what exactly is the factor over here? What exactly is it? Is it? It's not 100% clear. We have to get some clarity. What exactly is it? The fact that he puts his before mine. What makes it so bad? The fact that people aren't going to be able to reach mine before they reach his. It seems to be that this is a greater degree of getting in the way of my business, because no outsider is going to come to my business anymore. Everybody's going to come to the first business. It's going to almost, to a certain degree, almost destroy my business. So that seems to be the situation where the Avi Asaf is machmir. It's not 100% clear what his reasoning is, but in this situation where nobody can get to my business without getting to his business first, so the Avi Asaf says that the other person is not allowed to set up a business. Okay, so if you look at the Pesachei Tshuva, this is the longest Pesachei Tshuva I've ever seen in my entire life. I took out some excerpts of it because we'd be here all night if I read the whole Pesachei Tshuva, and everybody would leave the Zoom and fall asleep before I got to the end of it. So I didn't redo the whole Pesachei Tshuva. I just took an excerpt from the Pesachei Tshuva. It's still a very long excerpt broken into a few parts, but I'll try to do some of it. So he says that, wait a second, we had a machloket in the Gemara, whether we hold like Rav Huna, who says that you're not allowed to set up a new business, or like Rav Huna Brei Rav Yehoshua that says you are allowed to set up a new business. Now, if this stringency of the Aviyah Saf, that I can't set up a business if I'm going to stop people from getting to the other business. That seems to be following the opinion of Rav Huna that we don't follow in halacha. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says that, okay, we don't follow that opinion, and therefore he doesn't mention it at all. But the Rama says, no, we do hold of this. So he says, Lanu Taiti, I will start over here, Lanu Taiti Nira Degam Rav Huna Breda Rav Yehoshua Modeh. Even the second opinion, who's more lenient, who says you are allowed to set up a new business, even he agrees in this case. Why? Because since Shimon is sitting at the entrance and nobody could pass by to get to Reuven if they don't go to Shimon first, so then everybody would agree that's a problem. So he says, why? Because Dezeh Mikre Shapir Pasak L'chiyute V'lo Kishe Ma'amid HaChanut B'tzido. So he says that's called pasik l'chiyute. You're cutting off his business, meaning he needs a parnasa, he needs to make a living. When you come and set up your business in such a way that nobody can get to his business without getting to yours first, so then it's not a free market. You're really getting in the way of his business. So that's a significant damage. That's severe. So in that type of situation, even the lenient opinions would agree that you're not allowed to set up a new business. And the Rama actually brings this down in a tshuva. The Rama is talking about a very interesting situation where there was two prints of the Rambam. This is a situation that happened in Italy where there was one print that existed of the Rambam and somebody else came along and wanted to make a new print of the Rambam. So the first printer came to the Rama and said, this is not fair. And the second printer, we'll see in the tshuva, was undercutting the first printer by charging less. He was wealthy. He could afford to undercut the first printer. And he didn't. He didn't need the parnasa. So he made his new business. So the Rama says, these are key words here, where you're certainly going to be injuring him. Now, I can't imagine he means bari hezeka, that you're certainly going to be taking away a little bit of business from him. Because every situation where I have two stores, you're probably going to be taking away some business from the other guy. But he says, in a situation where, I assume he means that there's a significant damage to the first guy. So he says, everybody agrees that Allah is like Rav Huna. And he says here, ki ha yentilomer, I'm not sure what that means, hasheni, probably means some sort of printer, natan lachriz shekol sefer, yozil zehov tvei magaon. You had a big, there's one Talmud Chacham who was selling the books, and somebody else came along, and he said, I'll sell it for cheaper than the other guy. The second guy is wealthy, he could afford to take a loss, or maybe to take minimal profit. So he's undercutting the first guy. It sounds like he's going to completely destroy his business. So then in that situation, the Rama says that you're not allowed to come and set up a second business. If it's Bari Hezekah, if it's such a strong probability, but I think it's not just probability, but it's also degree of damage that you're going to be causing to the first one. Okay?
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Rabbi Simon, can you compare a city and a town? Like you say, Middle Neck Road, we can say it's at 47th Street, or the 5th Avenue, you could say all they're selling, they're all stores are selling clothing and watches, or you're saying a small town is considered you're still in business, or in your city, you're saying all the 47th Street, they're selling all jewelry. Could you compare that? Good, fantastic question.
So we're going to get to that soon, B'ezer Hashem, towards the end of this year. We're going to get to situations where people have, where like the garment district, or the jewelry district, or the flower district. We're going to get to that, B'ezer Hashem, soon. It's a great question. Fantastic question. Okay? Now, so he talks about over here, this is the continuation of that Pischei Tshuva that we saw before. So he quotes the Sefer Masa Ben Yamin. So he says the following. Tehecha deba hasheni litchot harishon legamre ulevatel otomi michyato. If somebody is going to come and he's going to destroy the business of the first one, he's not going to be able to make a living. It's talking about a situation where only one person was allowed to have a store open. And if the second one came, he would push him out completely. The two stores would not be able to survive. So then he says, for sure, you're allowed to withhold him from starting that business. And he says that he doesn't even quote the Aviyah Saf, rather, Svarad Nafshe. So he thinks that it's svara d'nafshei. I mean, even if you don't hold that aviyasaf, it's his own svara. So he says it's bari haseka tvei. It's extremely damaging. So therefore, he says that you would not be allowed to do it. I mean, even if they're not, even if it's not that one person makes a store at the entrance to the alleyway, keeping other people from getting to the second store, even if they're next to each other, but if the market is such that two stores can't survive and two people can't make a living in this area with that same business, then you're not allowed to come and start a second business that's going to get in the way of his first business. And a very similar similar idea of the Chasam Sofer, that he says if you're going to be posting chiyute the gamre, then it's not allowed. If you're going to do something that stops his business, that he's not going to be able to make a livelihood anymore from what he has, so then that's going to be forbidden. Now it's interesting, he quotes the Chavot Yair, who disagrees, and the Chavot Yair actually quotes a Gemara earlier, who says the following. So he quotes the Chavot Yair, Siman Membet, so we hold, like Shulchan Aruch says, that I'm allowed to make a new business if it's going to get in the way of somebody else's business. Unless it's from another city. So he says, interesting, that Gemara that we started with, the Masechet Makot, that says that David HaMelech said there are 11 principles that you have to live by. And one of the 11 principles is don't get in the way of somebody else's business. So he says, "Mefarsham kulu milechasidut." So if you look at the Gemara over there, those 11 things are not halacha. Those 11 things are not required practice. Those are 11 things that are admirable practice. They're marks of piety. That a person says, "Listen," he said, "Tzaddik." He says, "No, I'm allowed to go into your business, but I choose not to. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to. It's not nice. I'm not going to do it. I want to be better than that. I'm going to be higher than that." So he says, "That's all midat chasidut." So he says, it's allowed, but only those who are going above and beyond, they shouldn't do it. But under normal circumstances, a person is allowed. And of course, the true Beit Ephraim, he's talking about a situation where somebody had like a hotel in the city, and somebody wants to come and open a new hotel in the city. So he says, v'katav dekach amad davar. This is the accepted practice. This is what happens. You walk around. This is what people are doing. Even if he's building at the entrance to the city, that puts him. Imagine, right? Imagine a hotel, right? So if you have people coming by foot into the city, so they're very likely to stop at the first stop, right? The first hotel they see, that's where they're going to stop, and that's where they're going to want to spend the night. So if you have a hotel buried half a mile into the city, and somebody comes and opens a hotel at the gates of the town, right? Think about like a gated community, gated city. That's how the cities were back then, where they had a gate. If you want to get into the city, they had a protective thing around. You couldn't just walk in whichever way you wanted. It wasn't like people were just coming in. There was a main entrance to the city. And I have my hotel half a mile in, and somebody wants to open a hotel at the gate of the city. So he says, we've never heard of anybody saying you can't do such a thing. So he says, Afa bishur boneh etzal sharia ir, o begova shal ir, shakol ovrim sham derech aliyah, ve'ein mochei biyadon, lomar, demafsik lechiyutayim, lo kesheechad ba'alagur, mekomot shenogim cheskat yishuv. He says, listen, somebody comes to from outside and he wants to do something, and there's a resident already there who has some sort of precedence. Okay, that's maybe a different story. But in a situation where a person, two residents of the city, wants to, or maybe even like the Shulchan Aruch says, like somebody who lives in the next alleyway, the next neighborhood over, and he wants to come and start a business, okay? So we never see anybody who says that it's okay. Now, we'll see soon that this Beit Ephraim may be a little bit different, because the Beit Ephraim is talking about a situation where perhaps the second proprietor has a product that is superior in some way to the first proprietor. Maybe it's closer to the entrance of the city. That's more convenient. You know, if you're going out, you want to be able to leave early in the morning and go out, right? You want to be right near the highway. It's very convenient, right? Or you don't want to travel all the way into town, whatever it is. So there may be some some efficiency in the product that you're offering or some advantage in the product that you're offering, that in that situation, maybe that's not called Yored Umanoto Shel Chavero. So, okay, we still have to see in that. I'm saying that may be a difference in the case of the Beit Ephraim. However, the Beit Ephraim doesn't seem to explicitly make that distinction. And it could be that according to the Beit Ephraim, that if I, he says, the Gemara says, we follow Rav Huna, Brother of Yeshua, and you're allowed to compete, and it's okay. I'll have my business, you'll have your business, and that's the way it goes. Okay. Now, just a very interesting tshuva over here from the Rashba. Very interesting tshuva. Well, the Rashba is talking about the following question. Reuven, and in this topic, it's very interesting to see the different questions that people were asking over the years in Jewish history regarding this topic of Yored Umanoto Shel Chavero, going down to somebody else's business. It's really fascinating to see the questions that are being asked. So he says, Reuven Shu Chayat. Reuven is a tailor who ragil bebeit ironi achad. There's a certain, let's say, minister of the city, a certain, person in charge of the city, official of the city. And I always go to that guy for many years, and he loves me, and we do good business together, and I do all his tailoring for him, and nobody else does any tailoring for him. Now, Reuven, right? And I'm sorry, Reuven's the guy, okay? And this guy, this official, this minister of the city, he always gives him 2 gold coins for his business. Mikol Mabushu Osalo, whatever he wants to make for him, he gives him 2 gold coins as payment. Now, Achshav Bashimon, Shimon comes along, we have a problem. The gam hu chayat, he's also a tailor. V'ratza lachnis atzmo be'ahavat. Sorry, let's make that bold. V'ratza lachnis be'ahavat ha'ironi hazeh. Now he wants to come and steal the customer. V'amar lasot b'mlachto b'zol, malbush echad b'dinar. You charge 2, I'll charge 1. Reuven ba v'kibel al Shimon, shigorem lo hefsed v'goz lo b'yadayim. He comes and complains, Shimon, what are you doing? You're causing me loss. Bekama derachim bezulzul haschar. Bishenichnas bigvulo. You're coming onto my property, so to speak. Hu yachol arviach kazev kazev bekama komot ba'ir. And he can go somewhere else. You don't have to come to my boss, right? You don't have to come to the guy that I'm always working with. Go find somebody else to tailor clothing for. There's other business around. So is that considered to be forbidden or not? So is it, can Beitin actually force him to stop it? So he says the following. So he says, "B'chol kiha ein Beitin motzim miado." So he says Beitin can't force him to take away they can't take away the money from him for the business that he's doing. However, they could protest. They could say, "This is not right what you're doing." And even though they said, we saw before that one person's allowed to have business with the other one, he says, this is different. So look at over here. He says, the reason it's allowed normally is because Yachol Lomar Lo, Ata Oseh B'Toch Shelcha, V'Ani Oseh B'Toch Sheli. You're doing your business, I'm doing my business. However, when it comes to the case of the trap of the fish, remember that case where one person puts his fish net down and all the fish are going to go into the fish net and somebody else comes and puts his fish net next to his, takes some of the fish. So that, the Gemara makes it sound like everybody agrees that case would be forbidden. So the Rashba says the case of the tailor who has a set customer who always comes to him, he says that it's like the case of the fish net. Why? So it says, the shiny dagim, Diyavi Siara. The dagim, we know for sure they're going to come. It's almost as if they're his already. V'hachanami kevin deragil hu la'asod melachto, a'idei zeh kol shu tzarech lemlachazu, hareu ki yav da'ato azeh, uki ilu ba liyado v'karuf hu gelino, tel mimenu scharo. Avishinu tal mamash. He says that when this guy always uses me as his tailor, and now you want to come and steal the business from me, so he says that you can't do that. He says it's almost as if the money's already in my pocket. It's as already if the money's always in Reuven, the first tailor's pocket. Because the guy always comes to me. It's like the fish, right? I know the fish are coming to me. I know they're going to go into this net. It's not like when it comes to this tailor case, it's like sometimes he goes to that tailor, sometimes he goes there, sometimes he goes there. Okay, and he has a bunch of different people that he uses. He has an exclusive person that he always uses. Yeah.
So you're saying that the net if that person, there's two person, it's standing next to each other, his net to his net, it's close to each other, that's it. Of course it's stealing from him. If he gave him a distance, that's not stealing.
Yes, but the reason, but listen, Johnny, it's very important. The reason why when I put my net next to his net, it's stealing, is because since he put the bait there, the first person put the bait there, it's almost for sure that the fish are going to go to him. And now when I come and take my net, I'm Johnny, let me finish this thought, okay? It's just the fact that they're next to each other is not a problem, because we saw two people can open up stores next to each other. But it's the fact that the fish were almost for sure going to go to the first guy. So therefore, when I put my net there, it's as if I'm stealing from him because I'm taking something that was almost for sure going to be his. If two people open stores next to each other, so now it wasn't like the guy that, you know, this person always buys pizza from you, or 100% he's going to buy pizza from you. It's just the money's in his pocket. No, whenever he's in the mood for pizza, whatever, he goes and he buys. And if there was another store, maybe he'd buy somewhere else. There's already two stores in town, whatever, you know, whatever it is. It's not the same. But when I have a somebody who always goes to me for his business, so then it's as if the profit is already in my pocket. If you come and set something up next to me when the profit's already in my pocket, that's considered to be stealing. If it's something that's not for sure, or somebody, different people come in and we're talking about different types of customers or new customers, okay, or customers who are not regular customers, okay, so then you're allowed to open up a business next to him. But the Rashba says, if it's somebody who regularly comes to him, it's as if the money's in his pocket already. If I come and open up my business next to him, it's as if I'm taking the money out of his pocket. That's what he says. Okay, so let's just also just do one other thing before we get to some final thoughts from Rabbi Jachter. There's a very interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe where he's dealing an interesting situation where it's interesting that Rabbi Jachter doesn't say what the case is, which makes me think maybe I shouldn't say what the case is either, but I guess I'll tell you. So somebody had a shul, right? He owned the shul and he was getting his parnasa from either, I guess, the rabbi, the shul, whatever it is. And somebody came and opened up a shul next door to him, down the block, with the same clientele, attracting the same clientele. And the second group wasn't even his own business. They were just people who wanted to have their own shul. So can they stop the first? So can he stop this new group from setting up a shul that's going to get into the way of his shul and his income that he has as the rabbi of the shul? He says that people are going to stop coming to my shul. I won't have any more income from the shul. So he says, based on this chasam sofer, he says that the second group is not allowed to open up the shul. Right? And then he says, V'afsha dain nishru etzlo anashim shemitz palalim sham. Even though he still has people from who are still going to daven, it's not like he doesn't have to close down. He'll still have a minion, right? However, kevan shehuktan aminya kolkach ashein lo kedei chayav, since the minion became so small that he won't even be able to make a living anymore, al yidei zeh bet hakneset shelo b'harbeh me'od, so Moshe adds something very important. It's not just making a person, putting a person into poverty that's considered to be getting in the way of his business or taking away from his livelihood or removing his livelihood. It's not just putting somebody into poverty. He says here, but even just to reduce his income, and presumably to reduce his standard of living. So what does that mean? He says, "Pashut shekedei chayav mikrei kederech ha'otzaad la'anashim beinoniim mimadrigato b'chashivut." Just listen, I'm used to a certain lifestyle, right? And this is my lifestyle, and this is my class, this is where I'm my socioeconomic status. If you set up your business, and that's going to force me to not be able to maintain my lifestyle within my socioeconomic status, even that is considered to be yorei letochu manato shel chavero, and it's not allowed. You're not allowed to start such a competing business or a competing institution that's going to take away from the first one if it's going to keep the first one from being able to even maintain his standard of living. Okay. So we see it's not just putting a person into poverty, but even reducing his standard of living by itself is a problem of yorei lumanato shel chaver. Okay, so basically just to summarize what we saw. According to the Shulchan Aruch, if somebody else has a business and I'm from the same neighborhood or even a neighboring neighborhood, I'm allowed to come and open a new business over here. Fine. Now, if, okay, that's number one. Now, number two, if my new business is going to basically destroy his business, and according to Moshe, even not allow him to support himself on his, based on his previous standard of living for a person of his class, then I'm not allowed. And the Rashba also added, which some posts can bring down the halacha as well, the Rashba added that if I'm going to steal his regular customers, it's like taking money out of his pocket. So those are two major limitations from this halacha that I'm allowed to start a new business. Now let's see some other opinions of Rabbi Jachter quotes in his book, Gray Matter. So he says here, some authorities are even more lenient about competition. So, okay. Anyway, again, feel free to unmute yourself if you want to contribute to the discussion. Okay, so he says there's some people even more lenient. The Beit Ephraim goes against the Avi Asaf, which we mentioned before, as does the Tel Aviv Beit Din. Rav Yosef Adler reports that Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik adopted a similar approach when an established kosher pizza store sought to block another pizza store from opening in the same area, Bergen County, New Jersey. Now today, Baruch Hashem, there's many, many pizza stores in Bergen County, New Jersey. I remember somebody once told me that his father, maybe 30 years ago or 35 years ago, wanted to open up, I think it was a second pizza store in the Five Towns or something like that, and the guy took him to Beit Din, and maybe the guy even won in the Beit Din. So see how times have changed in different places. Baruch Hashem, in Great Neck, we have several pizza stores as well. We have, I think, four pizza stores right now. So, but that Baruch Hashem reflects a success that there's business for four pizza stores, right? Four pizza stores can stay open where there's enough people, traffic for four pizza stores to stay open. It was let me finish this thought. Okay, but in Bergen County, New Jersey, so I guess this was long enough ago that people thought that they can't have two pizza stores and you're going to ruin the business of the first one. So the local rabbis, Rav Adler and Rav Misty Gordon, consulted Rav Soloveitchik, who ruled in favor of the new entrepreneurs. The Rav insisted that in America, there are no restrictions on competition. Johnny, remember you said that earlier. There are no restrictions on competition, although he did not explain his reasoning. So we don't know why Rav Soloveitchik thought that, but he was lenient. Yes, Johnny.
The question I want to ask you: a river is not a long river. So why are you saying that the person doing the fishing? Why you can say that river is going a long way to where I don't know where it's heading to. So it's not, there's no restriction of this. There's no rules and there's no policy. Anyone is welcome to come to do fishing over there. Mill Neck Road is the same thing. It's a long street. It's a long town. So it's, you're not saying there is no competition. So we go on what I'm saying.
So again, putting aside Rav Soloveitchik's lenient psak, in the case of the river, you're right. It's a long river. So go somewhere else in the river. Don't come right next to me. Meaning you're coming right next to me where I put the trap already, so then you're getting in my way. You want to go somewhere else, so go somewhere else. Like Mara says, go up Harsa when you can make your business over there. But don't stand right next to me where I'm making my net. Okay? Now when it comes to Middle Neck Road, you're right, it is a long street, right? However, Great Neck is a community. Great Neck is an entity, it's a neighborhood. And therefore people are who live in Great Neck are buying their pizza in Great Neck, and people, and it's not like people are going outside of Great Neck to buy their pizza. It's not like people from outside of Great Neck are coming into Great Neck to buy their pizza, right? Okay, maybe people come from Roslyn, you know, that's like the next Mavui, but very little. So in that situation, you would have to measure, again, according to the Moshe, according to the Chasam Sofer, according to the Rama, if there's not enough business for two pizza stores, so then I can't come and open the second pizza store. If there is enough business for two stores, so kol hakavod. But if there's not enough business for a second store, you can't do it. That's the rule. Okay, now there's a quotes over here are interesting. There's also another possible reason to permit competition in America today. Murray Lolicht informed this author that almost all restrictions of economic activity violate civil antitrust statutes. Wow. This point may be significant, and the issue of whether Dina de Malchusa Dina, the principle that the law of land is halachically binding, applies in a given situation, must be carefully examined. Okay, so just as an aside, the fact that according to U.S. law, there are no limitations on business, right? We live in a free market, capitalistic free market society for the most part, right? So, you know, people are allowed to open other businesses. So whether or not that banning that and violating U.S. law, whether or not that creates a halachic issue is for another discussion, but it's just an interesting question. Okay. Now, 1 second. Okay. Now, there's, okay. So he quotes over here, and we're running late, but, you know, maybe we'll keep going if you guys don't mind. He quotes over here, 5 cases of consensus. 5 cases where it seems to be that people agree that you would be allowed to start a new business. So let's see what the 5 cases are. The first case, the Rama in Choshen Mishpat says the following: Yesh Orim Had Bnei Ha'ir Yecholim Lechot Bnei Ha'ir Acheret Hayutavka B'Deleika Pseida L'Lekuchot. So he says the fact that the situation where I'm allowed to stop you from starting a new business, that's only when it's not to the detriment of the customers. However, if I'm selling the merchandise at a better price, or I'm selling better merchandise, I want to start a new store. My store is superior. I want to start a fruit store. I'm selling better fruits than the other guy, or I'm selling at a more reasonable price, and the customers are going to benefit from this. So then the person who was selling originally can't protest. Okay, and he said maybe that only applies if the customers are Jewish, etc. But he says, if I'm bringing something that the other people don't have, so then it would be allowed. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm not going to read it inside, but the Aruch HaShulchan limits this and says that my cheaper prices are only better if I'm selling at market price and he was overcharging. However, if he was selling at market price and I want to undercut him by selling below market price, that's not considered to be the type of better prices that allows me to bring in my new business. And he says, actually, basically, they're basically messing up the economics, so to speak. Meaning economics, there are certain economic principles, there are certain ways that economics works, and if I start messing with that, so then that's not something we're going to make dispensations for. Okay? Let's just talk about a couple of other exceptions to the rule. The Chatam Sofer rules that communities should ensure that industries which require monopoly protection receive it. Meaning certain industries almost by definition can't survive if they have to compete with other people. So for example, Rabbi Dr. Levine quotes power companies, urban transportation, right? So if you look in on Long Island, there's only one power company, right? There's only one person running buses, right? Only the city's running buses. We don't have private bus companies. Because by nature of the businesses, they need monopoly protection in order to survive. And some people say that basic Jewish service providers in small Jewish communities similarly need monopoly protection to survive. So let's say I have a kosher supermarket in a tiny town. Let's say not a tiny town. Let's say even a small town, right? Columbus, Ohio. So Columbus, Ohio probably can't support 2 Jewish supermarkets. And I have a Jewish supermarket. So I need a monopoly to survive. So maybe that would be a situation where this would apply. Okay, teaching Torah. So competition fosters improved Torah knowledge. So in that case, I'd be allowed to open a new school, let's say, if somebody else has a school in that area. Kinat Sofer and Tarbiyah Chachma. So that's at least the Ikra Din. I know in a lot of cases where people have tried to stop other schools from starting for various reasons, but according to the strict halacha, you'd be allowed to open a new school. Okay, business districts. This was a question that Johnny asked before. Right. Let's say I'm opening a business where my opening of my business is actually going to enhance the business of the first store owner. So let's say I have the garment district, flower district, furniture district. So that attracts large amount of customers who spend more money than if they're patronizing a certain store. Right. The more stores that are there, the more it draws people to that area, right, to that neighborhood, to that district. So therefore, in that case, the original store owners benefit from the new stores. So in that case, many posts say that it would be allowed. And just another point before we get back to our discussion of masks, okay? So he says that it's just interesting to note also that we said that it's only if you're from the same neighborhood or a neighboring neighborhood, right? But he says many businesses today do not cater exclusively to their local neighborhoods. For example, he says insurance agents. So insurance agency is not a neighborhood-based field. You'll call an insurance agent anywhere and use their services. It's not something that's neighborhood-based. So he says, let's say they have an online business. So an online business, so you have one online business, I have one online business. There's no different neighborhoods for online businesses. I could have an online business in New York and somebody from Utah can be my customer just as much as somebody from Granite can be my customer. It literally makes no difference. So that's not considered to be like I'm coming into your area to do business. It's the same neighborhood. So, okay, in practice, all these questions require careful contemplation and require discussion with a Rav whenever, questions, matters of doubt arise. However, these are some of the basic principles. Just to close with our original question about selling masks. So he says selling masks, though, would inevitably be considered an extra dimension of the business. Meaning, he's saying, a person is not making their livelihood from selling masks. People are selling their masks as a side business, doing it as something extra. So therefore, he says, it would therefore likely not be a case where both cannot make a profit. Rather be treated as a case where both are attempting to earn additional profit. So therefore, it should be permitted for the neighbor to sell masks as well. So he says that if you have a mask business as a side business, and I'm coming in to sell masks as well as my own side business, that's not considered to be the situations like the Rama or the Chatam Sofer or Moshe Feinstein, where I'm going to ruin your business by doing my business, because that's only when you're relying on your business for your parnasa. But when you're just doing a side business as an extra gig, I'm allowed to come in and act as competition based on the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So these are some of the basic principles of Hasagat Gevul. But again, the applications of this are very detailed, very fine, very circumstantial, and they depend a lot on what's going on. So questions should always be referred to a competent posek when issues come up. However, the basic principles are that competition is allowed unless you're really going to ruin somebody else's business, remove his status of parnasa, or as we saw in the Rashba, if you're going to steal his established customers, it's as if almost his money is in his pocket. Many people are concerned for that Rashba as well. However, in a situation where, as we saw, let's say it's a district where many people are of the same business, or we saw certain other exceptions to the rule where I'm providing a better product or somebody else is overcharging and I'm charging the market price for what's being sold. So then in all those situations, definitely there's more room for leniency. But again, everybody should consult with their Rav as necessary. Okay, Chazak Baruch for everybody. Yes, Johnny.
I have a quick question. Okay, sure. It's going to be a tough one. You're going to have to be ready. Fasten your seatbelt. You are the chief rabbi of Great Neck. Okay? Let's say, and now you have young Israel. You have Rabbi Alon Shul. You have Rabbi Eder Shul. You have Shar Zion. They're all around each other.
Correct.
What you say about that situation? These rabbis are today doing the wrong thing or are they doing the right thing?
So I personally think let me say this. I don't really know the answer to your question. I don't know enough to express any meaningful opinion.
I caught you there.
But I will just some thoughts off the top of my head. Well, these are the questions you would have to ask. Is somebody opening a second shul going to get in the way of the parnasa of anybody else? In most of the shuls that you're talking about, probably the answer is no. And probably one person opening a new shul is not going to ruin the parnasa of somebody else. Probably. That's issue number one. Issue number two is that many situations where people open new shuls, So they're serving a new clientele, a different clientele, a clientele that wasn't being served before. I'm offering a different product, right? It's like the person where you're selling sneakers, I come in and I sell dress shoes. We're offering two different products, right? So in that situation, again, I don't think it's you can't necessarily compare the two shuls. So those are two things that come to mind. I can't tell you, and it really, again, has to be done on a case-by-case basis, and I'm definitely not competent to make decisions. But again, those are two issues that come to mind when we discuss this question of somebody starting a new shul and where there's a pre-existing shul. Moshe's case was where the first shul, the rabbi was depending on the shul for his parnasa. And once you shrink the minyan, so then you're going to remove his livelihood. He may have, he'll still have a little bit, whatever, but I'm saying, but you're significantly damaging his ability to make a livelihood and to maintain a standard of living. So that's
what Moshe said. Our young Israel, they don't have a problem. Young Israel, this one Ashkenaz shul is in the Mill Neck Road, in that town.
Well, so listen, the Great Neck Synagogue is right around the corner. What do you mean?
Oh, no! Great Neck Synagogue is you have to go. It's in the it's a lot. It's not in Mill Neck Road. It's a walking
distance. Yeah, okay, but it's not so far away.
I was saying that therefore the congregation is not going to leave their minyan. Once they want to move to their shul, I was thinking that the congregations are not going to leave. They're not going to go split up, or in case they get bankrupt, or they got
You're right, Johnny. You're correct. Again, as I mentioned before,